Good morning, ladies. My name's Peggy Bruning. That's still new for me. I've only been Peggy Bruning for about 3 years now. So let's start out with some prayer, and then I have a few things that the Lord put on my heart to share with you. So, Lord, good morning. And I really thank you for this time, Lord, just for this opportunity to, well, first for me to just sit with you and have you remind me of so many things and just put things on my heart. And then just to have this opportunity to share some things with my sisters here in Lincoln, Lord, and just your timing is just so perfect and sweet. My prayer, God, is that you know me. I pray you'd help me to be able to put my thoughts in a way that makes sense and the ones that you've given me. And just, Lord, you know the hearts, and I've been asking you for the hearts in this room. You know each woman here, what she's going through, what she needs to hear, and my prayer is that you would meet her. And we pray these things, Jesus, in your name, and we ask it for your glory. Amen. Okay, so these are new too for me. So Maddie asked me to share with you, and I was really blessed because I'll tell you a little bit about me. My name's Peggy. I'm from California, and I was called here about 10 years ago to, by God, because nobody moves from California to Maine unless it's God's idea, because that's just not what you do. But it was God's idea, and so here I am. And I actually get to serve at Calvary Chapel Bangor, and what I get to do is I run the Blessed Hope Women's Program there, and it's a women's discipleship program for ladies who are struggling with, sometimes it's drugs and alcohol, sometimes it's men, sometimes it's cutting, sometimes it's just needing to get back to, or needing to get to a place where they can get away from the world for a minute and let the Lord grab their little faces and reveal himself. I would have loved that when I first got saved. Can I please just leave the world for a while and just sit with you, Jesus? But it's a year-long ministry, so that's a little hard sometimes. But that's what I get to do for a living. I mean, I have the best job in the world. So, and I've been here for about 10 years, and I'm just about to leave. I'm going to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee here in a week. Okay, let's just get it all the way now. Excuse me if I'm a little squishy. It's my last week in Maine. And I wasn't going to do this, but what it's allowed me to do is really reflect. The Lord and I are really just spending some time reflecting. And so when I asked him what he wanted me to share with you ladies, he asked me to share about the journey and some of the things that I've learned along the way. And hopefully they can be helpful to you. And so I'm going to share from John chapter 4. Most of you, I'm guessing, have anybody familiar with the John 4 story of the woman at the well? Everybody's heard it. Well, that's where we're going to be today, and I'm not going to do a super in-depth, but I'd like to show you what the Lord has shown me, and it may be just a little bit different, but I'm going to weave some of my testimony in there with it. And I brought along some handouts, which I don't usually ever do either, but again, God said, here, we're going to do this different this time. I was telling Roxanne and Maddie, I get to share and teach the Bible every morning at Blessed Hope, and I love teaching God's Word. And so if you ask me to teach, I love that, but when you ask me to share a message, what's on my heart, if you say, teach this, I'm like, let's do it. If you say, share something and you can do whatever you want, I'm like terrified because I have all these They're like little kids. They're like messages that God has given me over the last week, over the last month. And they like jump up and they say, pick me, pick me. And I'm like, no, you need to sit down. You can't all come because there'll be way too much. And so even though I did that, there still appears to be way too much. So we're going to just ask the Lord to fit it into a time that will make sense. But so I just will start from the beginning, a little bit about myself. I am the oldest of five daughters and had a great, or five children, four girls and a boy. Great growing up, great mother. She took us to church every Sunday. I went to a Catholic church. And so my perception of God was this thing where God smiled on you when you were good, and when you were bad, you got sort of bopped on the head and you had to go tell the man in the box about it. And then he would tell you things to do to get rid of it. And I just remember my mom trying to explain it to me. It was like you had this soul, and when you sinned, you got a brown spot. And then when you confessed it, a scrubbing bubble came and tried to wipe it away. Some of you older ladies will remember the scrubbing bubbles. But they would make your soul white. And so the goal was to try to make sure your bubble scrubbed as much as your sin happened. And I remember even as a little girl trying to make sure my soul got cleaned and just being traumatized that I was missing stuff. And at some point it would just get so hard to try to do that. And I just remember thinking, and God was always mad at me in my mind. And so that was kind of my picture of God. And when I was a young girl at about 17, my mother got cancer. And she loved God. And I couldn't understand why God would give it to her. Like, why wouldn't you give it to somebody who wasn't serving you, who wasn't doing what you were supposed to? Because I had this idea that when you did good, good happened. And so then, basically, my dad had a faith healer come and lay hands on her. And I thought it was a crock, and I didn't really want to be part of that. And so we're all laying hands on her, and my dad's like, you need to. He was a Marine. You just did what he said. And so you put hands on her, and we pray. So we're all doing this, and I'm there going, oh, this is ridiculous. And then the man says, if any of you don't believe, this won't work, and your mother is going to die. And I just remember running in the kitchen, going, feeling so guilty because I knew I didn't believe. And then she did die shortly thereafter. Now, my logical mind told me I didn't kill her. But there was this piece of me that always wondered, what if I had believed? Would she have lived? And so that was sort of my career of, I'm not sure I like you very much, God. And I went a different way. Tiny bit about me. Everybody has a hard life thing. I mean, we all have our stories. I was a young girl with all kinds of pain in my heart and didn't know what to do with it. Lost my mom. My dad and I, we didn't really talk about much. Emotions weren't things you talked about in my family. You just pick up your bootstraps and you go on. And so that's what we did, and you just pack them all up. Well, you need to find an outlet. And if it's not God, right, you go to something. And so I went to alcohol and drugs and men. And it became sort of a career of trying to find something to relieve my pain. And I understand that a lot now as I serve in a ministry where I watch broken ladies come in. If you don't have God, you're going to go to something. And depending on how long it takes you to figure out that that's not the answer, will really sometimes determine how wrecked your life gets. And mine got pretty wrecked, and I won't bore you with the details, but it was pretty horrific. I ended up going to jail. I ended up doing things I'd never thought I'd do. And it was pretty horrific, and it took me many years. I thankfully, and I say this every time I share, because thankfully I had a lady who I went to high school with, and at some point she became born again. And she would come and she would share with me. Now when she did, I acted like I wanted nothing to do with her, okay? So if you're sharing with somebody who's struggling with something and she acts like she wants nothing to do with her, please know that she's filing it. Please don't stop. I can tell you, every girl at Blessed Hope, when you talk to them, they'll tell you, there was this woman, she used to drive me crazy at work. She would pray for me all the time and read her Bible. I hated her. I was really mean, but I heard what she said. She'd invite me to church all the time. You know what? You keep inviting. Sometimes they get sick of saying no, and they'll just come. But every single one of them, and myself included, because no one, they don't feel loved, and even you just reaching out makes them feel like you care. So please don't stop. Okay? So she shared Christ with me, and at one point about my fifth drug and alcohol rehab, I went to a Christian rehab and met the Lord, and he was different than the one that I used to know. I would have loved to tell you that was the last time I used. It wasn't, and I went and made a bigger mess. And thankfully, God doesn't get done with us. And then there was a place of desperation that I got to in 1998, and where I cried out to Jesus again. And I just said, I was miserable. It was probably the lowest point in my life. I was actually sober and miserable. I had just changed addictions. And I had just said, Lord, if you're real and you want anything to do with you, I'm going to give you my life. Like I was giving him a prize. It was this big old wreck. I'm like, and if you mess it up, I'm taking it back. But I had decided that I was going to put into him what I had put into everything else that I had chased. And thankfully, God in his providence, I went to my first Bible study at Calvary Chapel of Vista. And when I walked in, it was a women's Bible study, and I felt really different than the church ladies, you guys, because I was dressed a little different, mini skirt, stilettos, half shirt. I don't know why people were looking at me weird, but I was, you know, and so, but this woman was sharing. Some of you know her. She's about 4'11". Her name's Debbie Bryson. And she was saying, girls, you got to read your Bible. All right. So I'm new, and I'm joining the Christian club, and so I'm thinking that's a rule. You got to read your Bible. And she introduced us to the one-year Bible, and she told us that we had to read it every day, and she told us how, because nobody had ever told me how to read my Bible, that I needed to look for Jesus, that I could meet him there. And what struck me as she taught was that she acted like she had just sat down and had dinner with him or breakfast that morning, and that she knew him. And the God that she was talking about, the Jesus that she was talking about, was not someone I didn't know him like that. I was like, really, I felt like I could just say, did you spend the morning with him? And I thought, I want to know God like that. I didn't know you could. And so I went home with my Bible, my 1 year, because I got one. And that's what I did. Every day since that day, I read my 1 year Bible. And I've been doing that now for 16 years. And I met Jesus in a way that I'd never knew that you could. And so the reason we're in John 4 today is because this is the first place that I really met Jesus in a way where he revealed himself to me, and it was different than I understood. And so I've got this little sheet that I've got, and starts with Know Him. I'm going to share with you some things out of John chapter 4. And this is a special place for me. It's like holy ground for me because I really felt like I met the Lord there. But as I've been reflecting and he's shown me this, I've taught this so many times. I've taught it to the girls in jail. I've taught it because it just ministered to my soul because it introduced me to Christ. But as I was asking the Lord what to share and asking him about my journey, he said, he took me to John 4, and I thought, no, Lord, you're just taking, that's just what I want to teach because it's my favorite. And he said, no, this is what your walk in your life has been. And everything in here is what I have, what I need to know and what we need to know, I believe, for how to have a walk with Jesus. And so I've kind of divided it up into a couple of sections, and I'm going to share some things, and I'm going to weave in some of my testimony. The second page is some of my personal promises, and I'll touch on some of those too, but I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to read parts. Most of you know Christ was walking. He had an opportunity. His disciples went into town, and he went through Samaria, and he went to the well, and he went there at noon to meet this woman who went to the well at noon. She didn't go when the other ladies went because she probably got talked about. Usually you'd go to the well in the morning when it wasn't hot and you'd get your water, so you'd use it all day. She went at noon, and doesn't tell us why, but you can surmise that maybe she didn't want to be there when the other ladies were there because she had a little bit of a sordid lifestyle. But we're going to, so he meets with her, and he asks her for a drink, which kind of blew her mind because men didn't talk to women and Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. But in verse 10, Jesus answered, and he said to her, "If thou knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me the drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." And God just showed me, if you knew, and that's the thing that first off God wants us to do, is to know him. Very first and foremost and central to my life and to my walk was that Christ revealed himself through his word right here. And he revealed to me all those years ago that what goes on in this story, that he had what I needed. He said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well springing up into everlasting life." There was this promise that Christ had something that I needed, that I could only get from him. And the fact that he pursued this woman and went after her and made a time and a place to meet with her, that blew my mind that God would do that. And that's what happens at Blessed Hope. These girls, God says, all they need to know is if they only knew. If they only knew. We got a dark world we're living in right now, and if they only knew who. If they only knew Jesus, they're looking to pills, they're looking to medication, they're looking to programs, they're all in counseling now, they're in jails. And if they only knew who had what they needed, they would. And so God says, you know, he creates this place and this opportunity to meet. He met with me there, and to meet with ladies in Blessed Hope. But it's not just that. It's not just a one-time event that you meet him. Every day we need to sit with him and let him reveal who he is to us that day so we can remember who we serve. And he's so good like that. He'll reveal who you need him to be at that day. And he'll remind you of who he is. I need to remember who he is sometimes when I go out and things are hard. I need to do this daily and understand that he alone is what I need. And no matter what I'm doing, I need to know him. And so I don't care if you've been a Christian for 5 seconds or 20 years, we need to still remember and know our Jesus. We can spend the rest of our lives learning who he is, and we still won't know the depths of his love, of his sovereignty, of his power, and his character. I'm blown away after 16 years of reading the Bible every day that he still reveals new things to me. And that's always where I start. Lord, I want to know you. Show me something about you today. Help me just to remember who you are. And so this was just, so in this first column, I have a couple of things because I have some verses just about what the word says about how important it is to know him. And he says, listen, if you ask, if you seek, you're going to find. If you want to know me, you see him pursuing this woman. If you want to know him, he would reveal himself. If you're sitting there saying, I hope you are, okay, that's part of my goal, sitting there saying, like I did with Debbie, hey, she seems to know him in a way that I don't. Well, you can. You can. One of the first promises he ever gave me was seek and you will find. And I said, all right. And so if you want to know him, he will make sure. And then I remember reading John 17:3. Actually, Terry Clark said it. He's the worship leader. I love him. I remember him saying, and this is eternal life, that you may know God, the only, or that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom he sent. And he said, and this is like an intimate know. This isn't like I know President Obama, right? We know President Obama, but we don't know him like I know my mom, my dad, my sister, my child. There's an intimacy, and the word used here is that kind of intimacy. He wants that with us. We're gonna, that's what eternal life is, knowing God. So let's get started now. Let's know him personally in a way. And that's central to my walk. And then Jeremiah, we all, a lot of us will quote 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, but 29:13 says, and if you will seek me, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Listen, I'm a girl who puts my heart in things, and for years it was the wrong thing, okay? And but if you will seek him with that, he says, you will know me. You will get to know me, and it will matter in your life. And then he tells us it's impossible to please him without faith. But that when we come to him, we must believe that he is. I always believed that God was. I figured there was a God. But that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And what he rewards us with is more of him. Knowing him is the reward. It's amazing how that works. So he has this encounter, and he tells her that he is the one who has what he needs, and he will continue to, he revealed that to me then, and he continues to reveal that to me now, daily, and I watch him reveal it to the ladies at Blessed Hope, and I watch that make a change in their lives, and it doesn't, and even if you're not in a discipleship ministry, knowing him will change your life, and knowing him daily will change your life. So then what mattered to me a whole bunch is that he said he wants us to know him. He said he's seeking. In verse 23 there in John, it said, for the Father seeks those that worship him. And the Lord is seeking to meet with us daily, seeking to let us know him. And then here's what really mattered. The next bullet point I have is he knows you. Listen, I knew where I had been before I came to Christ, and I knew the things that I had done. And I didn't understand why, well, the God that I used to know, he wouldn't have wanted anything to do with me because a lot of it was bad, really bad. And I've shared a number of times of all the things that the Lord's delivered me from, but God knows me. And then I would open his word and I would read things like Psalm 139, where he said, listen, I've searched you and I know you. I know your thoughts. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. He says, I know your inner parts. He says, I know everything about you. And then he tells me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And it blew my mind that a God who knew where I had been and what I had done would still want to spend time with me. And I love that. But I loved that then because he knew where I'd been and what I'd been to. But I love that now. Because he still knows me. And I may not be quite as messed up as I was then, but he knows when I'm scared. He knows sometimes before I do even what's going on in my brain and what my heart, or sometimes I'll behave weird. And my husband swears that it's just because I'm in that season of life, but mental pause. But yeah, he calls it that. But I sometimes don't understand my behaviors, and the Lord will show me what's driving it, what fear, what anxiety. And we spend time, the Lord and I, and he knows me. He knows me today. He knew me back then. He knows the me that he's helping me to become, which is the really cool part. And he loves me. No matter what. That was kind of mind-blowing for me. And I put in there, you know, I always knew there was a God, and I thought he wanted to help the church ladies, but I didn't think he wanted to help me until I would read things in his word where it says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put his hand on him and said, I'm willing, be cleaned. God is willing. He knows who I am. He knows what you've done. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what goes on in you, and he's willing to just meet with you, be with you, touch you, heal you, help you. That was a hard concept for me to understand. And I don't know why. I have friends that I would do anything for, and if they were struggling, I would go to the ends of the earth to try to help them, right? Some of you with your kids, your husbands, you would do the same thing. God, even more so. For some reason, I always felt like he was just going to get mad at me and be like, how can you have that again? How can you be fearful one more time? Didn't we already go through this? But he's not. He's like, all right, I got you. And so the fact that he knows me, Ezekiel 16, I wrote in there because that was one of those verses in the Bible. I remember the first time I read it. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. And I said to you, live. That moment for me, because that's what I felt like. I was just this struggling, abandoned woman. And God just walks by and says, I want to give you life. I want you to live. And he does that with me today still, too, because I struggle. We struggle. He says, come on here. Let me help you. Let me give you life. And then the other one I like, I just put verses there. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctify you and I ordained you. That one just blows my mind, that he knew who I was. He knew all the choices I was going to make. And that he's ordained me. He's got something for me to do. And I didn't feel very worth anything. When we sang that song today, I am redeemed, and how you felt unworthy, I was like, ah, Lord, okay? That was me for so long ago. But that's not just me then. I'll tell you, sometimes now, I run a women's ministry. I'm going to still say newlywed, and, you know, who knew marriage was marriage? And it's... It's interesting, and sometimes I don't even feel like a Christian, right? And then I've got to go teach girls. I can teach it. I tell them all the time, listen, I'll tell you what it says. I can explain it to you. I can even give you examples. I'm learning how to do it. I haven't mastered it. So if you live in my house, you'll be like, hey, I thought you taught us. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I understand that a whole lot better now. But even now, the Lord will say, listen, I've sanctified you. Even when you just screamed at your husband through the laundry basket. Yes, I did that once. Through the laundry basket, and now I'm going to have to go teach the girls a Bible study. Okay? Lord, I'm not even. Satan's right there going, you are so not even saved. But the Lord says, I've set you apart. I've ordained you. I've sanctified you. And so I need to be reminded of that every day, that he knows me. He knows where I'm at. And he loves me, and he wants to help me. And so that's an important piece. And so the other piece of this is, if you read down, he tells her, go call your husband. She says, I don't have one. He said, no, you've had five, and the man that you live with right now isn't your husband. Here's what else he knows about us. He knows the thing that is often on the throne of our lives. He knows the thing that we turn to sometimes instead of him. He wants to reveal to us that area that's keeping us bound or separated or struggling. He didn't say, you tramp. He said, hey. Because my perspective sometimes is off, and sometimes I'm always the last one to know what's the truth about me. And he revealed that to her. He reveals to me the areas of my life daily that he wants to do a work in. He reminds me that where I go. That line in John 4:29, she says, come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Knowing all that I've ever done and knowing me, he helps me to see things. He's not like, I tell the girls a lot this, because I had a struggle with living up to God's standards. I was very performance-based when I first got saved, very legalistic, and I didn't understand grace at all, and I still feel like I'm just learning it still. Like, I don't get how you can screw up so bad, and you can still go and say, I did it again. And he says, I know I love you and I forgive you. But I started to understand the concept of a coach. Like a coach is revealing. I would always ask God, could you show me things and that you want to, an area you want to work in? And then he'd start to show me and I'd do this thing like, oh, I'm such a loser, right? And Satan would come in and go, yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. And then I would spend all this time in shame, hidden from Christ, shrieking away from him because I asked him to reveal an area that needed help. And when he did, I just turned into shame girl. And he's like, wait, you asked me. And I'm showing you like a coach. You're sort of the basketball player. Listen, your layup, it's got some issues. Can I help you? Can I show you? I wouldn't go, I'm such a lousy layupper. I would let my coach show me. And that's what Jesus wants to do, in a sense, is he wants to reveal to you areas, things, places he wants to do a work. And then he wants to help you do that. Of course, the Spirit has moved inside of us now, and he's not only going to instruct us, but then he's going to empower us to do it. My job is just not to get all into the works performance thing and humble myself and accept the grace that he's given and allow him to do that. And so that was kind of another mind blower for me. So when I started walking with Jesus, I really, if church was on, I was in it, okay? It didn't matter, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, single mothers, I didn't care, I went. I wasn't a mom, I went anyway. Just because I was hungry. And I didn't have any friends. I couldn't really hang out with my drug addict friends anymore. That doesn't really work. And I didn't really feel like I could hang out with you because I was sure you were all judging me while I was judging you. And I thought you were all perfect. You were the perfect church ladies who had no problem, right? And so I struggled with some of that. One of the things I really struggled with is I would watch some of you and I would compare my insides with your outsides. And there was this woman at Vista, she would come in every Sunday or women's Bible study, and she'd be like, don't you just love Jesus? And I would look and I'd be like, not like that, I don't. And then I would go, I want to love Jesus. Like, I understand that you died for me, but I don't have a love for Jesus. I don't feel a love for Jesus. And I struggled. That was a big, because I was looking for that feeling. And I wanted to love Jesus like she loved Jesus. I wanted to have those feelings of love for Jesus. And one of the promises, and it's on my other sheet, but one of the things that he gave me in his word was Ezekiel. That revolutionized my life, Ezekiel 37, because he said, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. That verse, when he said, listen, you can't even love me with that heart you got, so I'm going to give you a new one. I'm going to take that old one, and I'm going to teach you to love me. I'm going to give you a soft heart. I was scared of a soft heart because I'd spent a lot of times putting walls around my heart so that it couldn't get hurt. But God says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And so I expected after I read that I was just going to be squishy girl. And it just didn't happen like that. And I still struggled. I want to love you, God, but I don't feel love for you. And I was always comparing, I guess, until I read this other verse where it says in John, I think it's John 15:16, says, if you love me, obey my commands. He said, here's how you can demonstrate love to me, is through obedience. That revolutionized my walk because I wasn't looking to feel something for him. But what he said is, what you can do to show me you love me is obey. So that's what I started to do. I'm pretty literal. You say obey, okay, show me what to do. And I went crazy. Like, if you said be kind to your neighbor, if I wasn't smiling at my neighbor, I thought I was in sin. I went a little overboard, right? I did go a little overboard on everything at first. That's me. I'm pendulum girl. And so, if you love me, obey. And so I would set out to obey. I did a lot of that in my own strength. And when I first started going to church, I decided, and walking with the Lord, I decided, okay, I'm going to obey. So I decided first thing that was always on my mind was the husband and the man, and I decided that I would obey God and his word, and when he says you have to marry a believer, right, that's in there. I found out that was in there. I thought, okay, I'll obey you in that, and I thought that was a big deal that I was deciding to do that for him, obey and marry a Christian man. And so what I would do is I would go to church every Sunday, and I would sit there, and I'd go, okay, Lord, which one is he? Here's me obeying. And I would look, and I would look for hands in the air. I'd look for rings on their fingers. I'd look to see how close he was sitting next to some lady, and I'd look. And I just remember that went on for a long time until at some point I was in like a 3,000 people church, person church, and I was like, Lord, he is not here. Do I need to change churches? And then I heard a study. And this brings me to the next thing Christ has showed me through his word and through this story, was once you know who he is and once you understand that he knows who you are and he loves you and he forgives you and he offers you grace, that he wants you to make a choice to let him be the Lord of your life. Like, he'd been my savior. Savior part was cool. Yes, don't want to go to hell. Give me that. Be my savior. But the Lord part... The Lord part. That's when he said, if you love me, obey, let me be the boss. Now, you would think with my track record, I should have said, I don't drive so well. I've driven myself to jail, to hospitals, to legal matters. I should just go here. But it's not always that easy. But then he would say, and in John 4 here, in this, she says, I know there's a Messiah coming, which is called the Christ. And the Lord says to her right there in verse 26, I that speak to you am he. So once he revealed that he was Lord, this is the first time Christ ever revealed that he was the Messiah, and it was to a woman who was less than reputable. And that just blew my mind. He says, Peg, I'm the Lord. Can you let me be? And that's where I struggled, and that's where I see my girls struggle. Something lords over their lives. And often it's self or desire or men or the need to be loved or the need to get out of pain. He said, if you love me, obey and let me be Lord. I remember when I read the verse in Luke there, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? That's an oxymoron. You can't say I'm the Lord and then you be in charge. And so at some point he said, can you let me be the Lord? And then, because I read my Bible every day, I get to all these different chapters. And I remember when I got to Acts chapter 9 with Paul. I love Paul. He's going down the road, on the road to Damascus, right? And God gets his attention. And I have things along the way that have just formed my life. And this is another one of those verses, because what Paul said in Acts chapter 9 there, he said, who are you, Lord, was his first question. And then his second question was, what do you want me to do? And I realized that what I had done was said, who are you, Lord, and how can you help me? What can you do for me? Which one is my husband, Lord? I'm doing this your way now. Who is he? And I remember hearing a message where the pastor talked about, said those words. Are you in this for what he can do for you? And I was. And he took me anyway, but at some point, he revealed to me that he saved me with a purpose. And at some point, I had to make that decision. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, it says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I remember reading Mary saying that and saying, Lord, I want to say that, but I'm scared. I'm afraid of what you might want me to do. What if you make me marry a really crazy person? Or what if you make me go live in Africa? Or what if I was sure that this God was going to make, because I'd done all these bad things, he was going to have this horrible plan for my life. But at some point, I had to say, Lord, I don't want to be in this for what you can do for me, but I want to offer myself to you. And what can I do for you? And part of my journey and one of my promises over here was when I met Isaiah 54. Some of you know that verse where he says, sing, O barren woman, bring forth into song cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for the children of the desolate will be more than the children of the married. And he goes on to say, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, neither be disgraced. You won't be put to shame. You'll forget the shame of your youth, and you'll remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore, for your maker is your husband. That blew my mind right there. Because in one more time, God revealed himself to me as my husband. And I'd been in enough studies at this point where he said, I'll get rid of your shame. And then he said, your maker is your husband. And I'd learned that a wife, a Christian wife, was supposed to be a helpmate. And I thought I knew what that meant. I still have no idea. I get the concept. But I thought, if you're my husband, Lord, what do you need help with? What can I do to help you, Lord? Was kind of a question I said. And I thought, I want to serve you. And I remember thinking, what are you doing? And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he says, I'm doing kingdom work. You want to be part of it? And that's when I came to bullet number three, which is saved to serve. John 4:28, when the woman had this encounter with Christ and he reveals that he's the Messiah to her, she left her water pot and she went her way into the city. And she put things down and she went and told people, and then they all came back. And the Lord says the harvest is plentiful. In verse 35, he says there's lots of people out there that need to know Christ. The harvest is plentiful. And the Lord, I remember saying to me, and I met this amazing verse, and I know I shared it last time, but in Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and 75, there's a verse that's in there, and it says, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of your life. I like, the Lord skinnies things down for me, so what he said to me was, you've been saved to serve. You've been saved to serve. I've wired you to serve. He said, and Debbie Bryson would always tell me, she would say things to me, I don't know why she wanted anything to do with me. I was a ridiculous spun monkey, but some reason, I asked her one day in tears, I'm supposed to ask you for some help. And she said, a long time ago, huh, honey? And I was like, yes. Yes, I sat at home for 6 months in torment because you were the teacher. I was like, I'm the teacher. But once she did that, now I understand as a Christian woman, I love a new believer to come up to me and say, hey, I got some questions. I can't make this fit life. Could you help me? But she made a mistake that day because she said yes, and then I called her every day for the rest of my life. But she would say things like, to me about, like, you were this perfectly good diamond that was just laying there dirty. And I thought, who? And I was like, where is she looking? Right? But she always tells me that the golden thread that she saw was that the minute I had anything that God showed me, I wanted to give it to someone. And I did. I remember him putting that in my heart a long time ago. I wanted people to, I felt like, look, I've looked everywhere, you've looked everywhere, and I found the answer. It's Jesus. It's the last place we look, but it's Jesus, right? And so I wanted to give that to people. And then I recognized that that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to serve him. Now, not everybody has to run a Blessed Hope, okay? Not everybody has to do children's ministry. Thank you, Jesus, because I'm not equipped. But I don't sing either, but he's got something for each of you to do. And whether it's just pray for your neighbor, whether it's say hello to that child next door, whether it's whatever it is, God says, I've called you to serve. And I'll tell you, that's when my walk changed again. And I remember saying to the Lord, he gave me another promise on the other page, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Here's what he told me, and here's what I said to him, because we have these conversations. All right, Lord, look, I'm going to serve you, and you promise you'll take care of everything else. And everything else meant everything else, the job, the husband, Lord, I'm going to give you my heart and you get to give it away when you're ready. In the meantime, I'm going to be busy about your business. And that's what I did. I've probably spoken at more singles conferences than anybody on this planet because I was single for a really long time, okay? And people would always ask me, they'd come up afterwards and go, how do you deal with the loneliness? And I'd struggle. I'd be like, I wish I could tell you because I'm not. And I would go to the Lord and say, why am I not lonely? Shouldn't I be lonely? I have a desire for a husband. I want one, but why am I not lonely? And God would say, because you have me. It wasn't about give me a verse on loneliness and let me wave it over you. I'm not a wave Bible verse over people kind of girl. But what I am is daily meeting with Christ and having a relationship with him. I didn't wait till I was lonely to go find something from God's word to help me through that moment. Every day I had a relationship that helped me, and every day he showed me things. Now, did I have lonely moments? Yes. When I started heading towards 45, 46, did I go, Lord, what are we doing here? But I trusted him. So I just saved to serve. He showed me another life verse of mine, John 15:16, when God said, you don't choose me, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Please let those words wash over you. I don't know if it's just because I'm in my squishy zone again, but man, the idea that Christ wanted me, still wants me. I tell the girls at Blessed Hope, listen, I know you think coming here for a year is a death sentence, but can I tell you, we got 10 beds here. And the Lord looked out, and he chose you. He arranged a meeting at a well or at a supermarket. He pursued you. He chose you. And he didn't just choose you, and he's going to give you your best life now, but he's appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that you should go do for his kingdom, and it should be fruit that remains. Look, I know who I was. I'm shocked that he even chose me. But what's happening in my life is he's given me something to do. And now there's fruit that's coming out of my life that I can take no credit for. But I'm watching other people's lives. And they're having impact on. And I'm just blown away. I got a little Facebook message the other day of a girl that went through Blessed Hope. She's Sharon at a church in Santee. She's on her way to Bible college in Jerusalem. I got another one who's leading a discipleship class. Sing, O barren woman, because you're going to have children. Okay, I don't have any of my own, but I got spiritual kids. I got probably more than all you guys put together. But because God has allowed that to in my life, and he gets all the glory, but all I did was say, what do you want me to do? Paul asked that question, who are you and what do you want me to do? And he spent the rest of his life answering it. And we can too. That's part of my life. I don't want to call it a verse, but it's like my life mission statement is find out who God is and what do you want me to do? He says this great thing, and I always get it wrong, and I think I didn't bring it with me, but I think it's Acts chapter 23, verse 70, where Paul said, he's talking and he says, whose I am and whom I serve. That's how he identified himself, talking about Jesus. He said, whose I am and whom I serve. And those are the answers to his two questions. Who are you, Lord? Well, I belong to you, and I serve you. That's who I am. I want a tattoo on my neck that says that, but I'll just wait on that right now. But anyway, whose I am and whom I serve, Jesus Christ. And it's in serving that I have found so much joy. And that's why Paul in Romans says, listen, I'm begging you, brethren. I'm begging you. Can you offer yourself as a sacrifice to the Lord? Holy and acceptable, that's your reasonable service. He knows the secret, guys. It's in serving God and giving of yourself and doing what he calls you to do that you're going to have the life that you want. And so he says, I'm begging you, would you please listen to me? It's the least you can do, and it will be the biggest blessing for your life. Now, there is Luke 10, and I have to be careful of this because story of Martha and Mary. Martha, you are worried about, troubled about many things. You get busy serving, Martha, and basically one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Listen, that was another one of those moments where Jesus said, hey, Mary has chosen to sit at my feet. One thing is needful. When Jesus Christ says, hey, ladies, there's one needful thing, and it's that you sit and hear from me, I should take that to heart. I shouldn't put that lower on the list. He said it's before cooking dinner. It's before serving at the church. It's before, okay? Whenever Christ Jesus would send out his disciples, he would call them to him first, and then they would go out. Even the prophets, he would tell them, you eat the book first, you eat the words, because they have to be in your life before you go share them. You have to know the Jesus that you're sharing with others. That's what he says. And so please hear that. And then there's the promise of John 7. If any man thirst, let him come to me first. And then out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. It's got to go in before it can go out. And then it can go out and it can get on everybody and it can have an impact. And it's amazing. All right, so finally, we'll kind of wrap this up. So what God has shown me through these stories is that these are the core elements. They're the pillars of my walk. They have been from the beginning. I didn't recognize them. They didn't go in order like this in the beginning. But now as I reflect, he's saying, listen, that's what you started doing then. That's what you've done in the middle, and that's what you still need to do today. And then the other piece of this, and then I understand, is, listen, my journey has been living by God's word. His word is what has guided me. Your word has given me life. I just read that the other day. Lord, I would have no life apart from your word, because that's where I've met Jesus. That's where I get strength. That's where I get courage. That's where I get direction. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Simple verses we may have heard before. My pastor just taught this message. It blew my mind. He says, listen, he's a lamp. He doesn't say he's a floodlight and he shows you the whole future, but he shows you the next step. And that's what I need for him to do often, is show me the next step. And he says, Lord, where else would we go? Who's got the words of eternal life? The Lord does, and it's in his word. And so I'm just going to put this plug in. I don't know what your reading of God's word is. I thought it was a rule, so I did it out of legalistic obedience in the beginning, but I am so glad that I did, because it has changed my life. I read the 1 year. I've read it for 16 years. I teach the girls at Blessed Hope. They read the 1 year. God has spoken to me. He's taught me. He said, you'll hear a voice behind it. It'll say, this is the way, walk in it. He says, listen, if you delight in the word and you meditate day and night, you're going to be that tree that's planted by the river. You're going to bear fruit in due season. It's going to happen. And what you do will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. I want that. So if the reading his word, that's what he says. So I have lived by his word. For me, it was an accident. I thought I had to, and now I'm so thankful that I did, right? But, and then there's a promise. Blessed is she who believes what he says to her when she's spending time with him, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. So this is what this second page was. I let you into my journey a little bit, and I've already touched on some of them, so I'm just going to, whenever I meet with Jesus, the first thing I got ever was seek and you will find, and I took it literally, so I sought. And then I told you, he said, seek me first. And I did that. And he said he would take care of everything else. The husband, my family, everything else. He told me that I wasn't capable. I knew I wasn't capable. He gave me Ezekiel. He gave me Isaiah 54 to help me understand that I was loved, I was forgiven. And I didn't understand the depth of Isaiah 54 about the spiritual children, about any of those things, that my children would be fruitful. I didn't understand that, but I've had that verse underlined in my Bible for so long, and I go back to it, and God uses it. And then he started to use me. He put a burning desire in my heart to help women who struggle like I did. And one day after I went to Russia on a short-term mission trip and met Jeanette Graves, I called her on the phone, and she said, would you come here and move to Maine and help us start a women's program? And my heart did this, right? But you don't move to Maine with a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart. I'm like, Lord, if this is you, can I get more than this, please? Can I get some scripture? And because I read every day, I started to pray. And people are like, well, how did he talk to you? You know, listen, I was reading along one day. Every day I'd say, Lord, I just need to know what your will is. I get to Acts chapter 7, verse 3, and Stephen is talking to the Pharisees, and he's recanting the story of Abraham, and he says, get out of your country from your relatives and come to the land that I will show you. It was the Holy Spirit flashlight went, highlight, that's yours. There's your answer. And I was like, Lord. He's like, no, it's really clear. You don't even need me to say it again. I was like, all right. So I did. I moved from California to Maine because God asked. Now I was afraid. And so I have dates in my Bible. That was April 9th. 10 days later, I'm like, all right, look, I know you said go, and I'm going. I'll go, but I'm scared. And I don't know how to run a ministry, and what about what I'm doing here? What about my dad who just had surgery? What about? And in 1 Chronicles 17, the Lord spoke to me again, and he said, I tell you the truth that the Lord will build you a house, Peg. I'm going to do this. For you, O my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in her heart to pray before you. And now you, Lord, have promised this goodness to your servant. Now you have pleased to bless the house of your servant that it may continue before you forever, for you have blessed it. Listen, the Lord used that in my personal devotion time to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of your dad and your house here. I'm going to take care of the girls you're ministering to here. And I'm going to help you with this blessed hope or this ministry. I didn't even know the name of it then. He said, and I would say, remember that song by Casting Crowns? Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurts? That was me. And I felt like David going, Lord, I don't know why you do that for me, but if you say you're going to do it, then I'm just going to pray. And I got up and he said, sit down. And I said, all right. And he said, I'm going to build your personal house too. I'm going to give you a husband. And I have all kinds of husband verses in there. Now, if I'd known it was going to take him 13 years, I probably would have freaked out. Now, that's my story. If you're a young girl, you don't necessarily have to wait that long. That's mine. Maybe he thought I just needed more help. I always told him, don't bring him till I'm ready. Anyway, I think it was him that wasn't ready, so the Lord is just waiting. That's my theory. But basically, he said, I'm going to build your house. And I held on to that because there was times when I was like, Lord, I'm 45. Do you remember that promise? And then I remembered when Abraham and Sarah took things into their own hands, right? That was at 11 years, so I had to get past 11. I kept thinking, I got to get past 11, Lord, because that's when they blew it. So past 11, and then God brought the man into my life. So all along the way as I left in Genesis 15, that's one of my verses. Genesis 15, 1, it's a random life verse. But God said as I set out, don't be afraid. I'll be your shield and your exceeding great reward. So in the beginning, I needed the don't be afraid because I was scared to death. And then I needed the shield. Shield me, Lord, and trust me, he shielded me from a lot of things at Blessed Hope in the beginning. If I had known, I probably would have run. But now the part that I love, you're my reward, Lord. And so that's on a ring right here because he just reminds me. And his word is what sustains my life. And I live by those. I hold on to them. I put them on things. I put them on things. I wear them. And then when I went to marry my husband, I need you to say that to me, Lord, because I know in matters of the heart, I can be real stupid. But you're my heavenly Father. Speak beyond my emotions. Speak beyond my heart. I fasted even talking to this man for a while, and I went, I need to hear from you, not me, and his word one more time. In Romans 15, he said, that the God of patience and comfort would grant us to be like-minded together in Christ Jesus with one mind and one mouth, glorifying God the Father. That was my verse. God says, you two are going to be like-minded. You're going to serve me together. So I don't do anything without his word. That's why I don't understand how people can not read it and know things, because it has been the foundation of my life. And so when I told you when I went to come here, God said to Abraham, leave your land and your descendants. Well, when I started praying about Chattanooga, my husband and I started praying, and we went to visit just recently because Blessed Hope is my heart. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I just couldn't imagine being anywhere different. And so we prayed, and we went to visit, and on the way down there, both of us got the verse at the same time in the airport, because my husband reads the one-year Bible with me. We read together. The Lord said, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. There's an us, God said. It's not just you anymore. There's an us, and there's a race. And then when we prayed while we were down there in Ezekiel, and this blew my mind. This is how God blows my mind. Ezekiel said, Abraham was only one. And God gave me an Abraham verse to come to Maine. He said, and he inherited the land, but we are many. There's two of us. And this land has been given to us as a possession. So the Lord said, yep, you're going to Tennessee. And so that's what we're doing now. And I came home, and one more time I said, Lord, what about Blessed Hope? I love this place. And he said, listen, Peg, Isaiah 54 again, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, spare no expense, for soon you will be bursting at the seams, but your descendants will occupy. He said, listen, those girls that you've been pouring into, they're going to take over here. And it just gave me the peace to move forward. And then he gave me in Ezekiel again, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people, for indeed I am with you and I will multiply you. I will and make you inhabited as in former times, and I will do for you, I will do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am God. And so all along the way, the Lord uses his words to sustain my life. And I just, you know, people will say all the time, I have people talk to me and say, how do you do that? And, you know, how could you do it? It's by God's grace. Another one of my life verses, I know who I am and where I came from. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I have that on a ring too, because I need to remember that one. And he said, and his grace toward me was not in vain. I don't want God to have poured out his grace on me and me just to have wasted it, because it's amazing grace. So I want to just make myself available and let him do whatever he wants with me. He's the one who's got the problem, because I'm hard to work with. But he says, I will make you fishers of men. He does it. He who's begun the good work in you will complete it. I just need to show up. You need to make me do, equip me for what you've called me to do. And I've labored more abundantly than all, but not me, but the grace of God that lives in me. Listen, just in closing, every year at the beginning of the year, you start reading the 1 year. And I was just looking this year in the genealogy of Jesus, where they list all the people who were part of the lineage of Jesus. And in there are four ladies. Some of you have been reading the Bible for, there's four ladies in there. If you go back and read their stories, they all have, some of them have sordid pasts, they have struggles. Four ordinary ladies who gave their lives to the Lord and allowed them to be used, and they got to be part of the lineage of Christ. They got to serve him. And I just was thinking, Lord, we're all just ordinary ladies. I'm an ordinary lady, sort of a messed up, unordinary, strange lady at first, but Lord, in your hands. And I know there's a lot more ladies out here, and I just want to say, listen, please give yourself to the Lord. Let him use you in whatever way he can, and he will. Because, and I want you to say, hey, I want to know Jesus like that. If you don't, I don't know where your walks are. I hope this was helpful to you. It was helpful to me to remember, because I've been walking for about 16 years now, and sometimes I forget, and I need to go back to the basics. And I'm just excited about what the Lord's going to do. I'm excited about what I'm going to do. And I want that for everybody. Like, if I could just put it in a pill and hand it to you all. I would do that, but that's probably contrary to what I teach. But I want everybody to know him. And I remember thinking, Lord, I want to know you like Debbie Bryson does. And then the Lord said to me, I don't want to know you like Debbie does. He says, I want my own relationship with you. And that's what he wants with each of us. So that's what I have to share with you today. So let me just close in prayer. Lord, I don't know if this was for these ladies or for me, but I just thank you for reminding me of how we met all those years ago, Lord, and how just daily meeting with you still has such a powerful impact on my life. Lord, knowing you is what it's all about, God. And I just pray that each of us, Lord, in this room could just know something a little more about you, just understand how intimately you know us, Lord, and just let you be Lord of our lives and offer ourselves. Lord, we have a dark world that we serve, and we know it's going to get darker. And Lord, just help us to be those lights that shine. God, I just pray, too, that your word would become a lamp and to everybody's feet in this place, and that we would just look to you daily. And God, I just pray these things in your name. Amen.